I want to write my talk to the lecturer following this afternoon. So today I'm going to explain how the axiom of non-primitive geometry to give a spectral characterization of meaningful. And the axiom was laid down in a paper published in Communication Medical Physics in 1996 called Gravity Coupled with Matter and the Formation of Non-Primitive Geometry. So I like to write to the gravity part of the paper. And so consider a compact Riemannian spin manifold with Dirac operator D. And the following observation due to Kahn is that the Dirac matrix of D to the minus n plus 2 is a negative multiple of the integral of the scalar curvature. And the integral of scalar curvature, so kappa is a scalar curvature, and the integral of scalar curvature is the Einstein-Hilbert action, which gives contribution to gravity forces in physics. And here, by Dirac matrix, I mean the extension of the Dirac matrix given by the non-primitive residue. Okay. So what happens is that this has a spectral datum. So here what we have is a spectral characterization of a spectral interpretation of the Einstein-Hilbert action, and it's something that you can recover from, can also recover from the spectral action principle of Shamsuddin and Kahn, which was further used recently by Shamsuddin, Kahn and Marcoulis to give a model for a standard model coupled with with gravity. Okay. And the second observation is that in quantum field theory, the inverse of Dirac operator corresponds to the free propagator for fermions. And therefore, you can interpret Di, that is the inverse of D, as a length. Okay. And if you integrate it, so I will mention it later on, but the Dirac matrix corresponds to the analog of the integral in non-primitive geometry. So if you integrate, so Ds square can be seen as a real element. And so if you integrate it, what you get is, you can interpret this as an area. Okay. Okay. So now if you combine the two observations in dimension 4, what you get is that, when dimension of M is equal to 4, the integral of d square is proportional to the Einstein-Hilbert action, and therefore the Einstein-Hilbert action yields the differential geometric expression of the area of M. Okay. Okay. So here you have a purely, by using non-primitive geometry, you have a purely differential geometric expression for, purely differential geometric definition of the area of a manifold of dimension 4. Okay. So the question I'd like to explain is how you can define other other kind of volumes. So more precisely, consider a compact Riemannian manifold. And the question you can ask is, for k equals 1, 2, through n minus 1, can we also give sense to the kth dimensional volume of M? Okay. So when k equals 2, this is the area. We like also to define the 1 dimensional volume, that is the length, and as well as third dimensional volume, fourth dimensional volume, etc. Okay. So something you cannot do using classical differential geometry, but you can do that using non-primitive geometry, and what you're going to see is that at the end, the answer does not make appeal anymore to non-primitive geometry. So the answer uses two tools. First one is a non-primitive residue trace of Wojcicki and Gmelin, and second one is the quantized calculus of Kahn. So I'm going to review both the non-primitive residue and quantized calculus. So I start with the non-primitive residue. So it was traced on the algebra of the differential operators, so AK psios, which was found by Wojcicki and Gmelin, so there were also earlier work of Menin and Adler. It has many applications and generalization. In particular, it's an important tool in this framework for the local index formula in non-primitive geometry by Cohen and Muscucci. And so you have various interpretation of the non-primitive residue, but you have an elementary construction in terms of the logarithmic singularity of the Schwarz kernel of the parator, which was given by Cohen and Muscovici. That's what I'm going to to briefly review. So we start. So I'm going to explain, recall symbols and pseudo-differential operator. So let us first consider local chart in RN. So okay, so you have a manifold and consider a local chart. Okay. So a symbol of order m. So our function of p, x, and c on u cross RN. So I emit an asymptotic expansion in terms of symbols which are homogeneous. Okay. So the degree of homogeneity is decreasing, and the leading degree is called the order of the symbol. Okay. And the asymptotic expansion is given in terms of decay with respect to the xi variable. Okay. So, associated to a symbol, so to any symbol you can associate a pseudo-differential operator. Okay, so it's given by this formula. So P U X is equal to 2 pi to minus n e to the I X C P X C U at C D C. So U at is a Fourier transform of U. Okay. So, okay, well, so when P is polynomial in C, what you get, what you recover is, so when P is a polynomial, what you get is a differential operator. Okay. And the advantage of looking at a differential operator is that you can invert elliptic operator modulo smoothing operator. Okay. And so in general, pseudo-differential operator of order M on the manifold M, okay. So, the operator, so here M is supposed to be compact. So the operator acting on C infinity of M, which in a local charge is a form P equals to little p xd plus R, where P is a symbol of order M and R is a smoothing operator. So the fact that R is smoothing means that the Schwarz kernel is smooth. Or alternatively, you mean, yes? So I said Schwarz kernel of pseudo-differential operator is smooth off the diagonal. Okay, so I mean it's smooth when for x different from y. And when you get near the diagonal, what you have is an asymptotic expansion of this form. So okay. So first we have terms here which are homogeneous. Okay. So here L is between minus m plus n and zero. So in fact it's non-positive. So we have something which is something which is singular on this diagonal. And the next and after this homogeneous term, what you have is a logarithmic singularity, okay, with coefficients p of x can be related to the symbol of order minus n of p. Okay, so it's the homogeneous symbol of order m of p, and I call you that n is the dimension of the manifold. And I'm integrating over the sphere. Okay. And observation, which is due to Cohen and Muscovici, is that the coefficient CPX makes sense globally as a density, which is functorial with respect to diffeomorphism. Okay, so in short, it means that under the action of a diffeomorphism, it transforms like a density. Sorry? So that's next. What? Yeah. So so you have a non-city, so you can integrate it, and this gives a non-creative residue. Okay. Okay. So so this way recovers the original definition of Kunming and Posicki, and the property of the non-creative residue are following. So it's local. So residue is vanish if order of p is less than minus n. So it follows from the definition, because if p has order minus n, there is no logarithmic singularity. So cp is zero. It's invariant by diffeomorphism. Okay, so it follows from the fact that p of x is functorial with respect to diffeomorphism. Okay. And furthermore, it is a trace. So residue of p1, p2 is equal to residue of p2, p1. So to see that, what we have to see is that, in fact, so that's more important for the rest of the talk. So you look at complex plane and look at operator. So here we have minus n. Look at operator with real part of order is less than minus n. So this operator are going to be trace class. And what you can prove is that outside the differential operator with integral order, you have an analytic, so you have a trace class, so we can define the trace. And we can construct an analytic extension of the trace, define an absolute differential operator of non-integral order. And what happens is that an absolute differential operator of integral order, what you get is a residual functional which agrees with the non-creative residue. That it is a trace. But actually, well, anyway, for my talk, it would be useful to have. Yeah, actually, I never found out that. I tried it a little bit when doing my thesis, but. Well, I mean, I just tried for 10 minutes. Yeah, you mentioned it in paper. So from this point of view, what you get is a residual functional, and since you extend analytically a trace, so the analytic extension is again a trace, and as the residual functional is again a trace. So the non-creative residue is a trace, and in fact, can prove that it's the only trace up to constant multiple. It is a result of Wojcicki. Okay. So any question about this? Okay, so now let's go to overview of quantized calculus of Kahn. So consider a separable Hilbert space, and you have a dictionary between a classical calculus and their quantum counterpart. Okay. So the first two lines, complex variable and real variable, comes from quantum mechanics. So complex variable corresponds to new operator on H, real variable to self-adjoint operators. So infinitizable variable corresponds to compact operator. So the reason is because that T is compact. So if only for any epsilon positive, there exists a subspace of H of dimension of finite dimension. Okay, so that the norm of of T outside E is less than epsilon. Okay. And okay, so it means that you can neglect T outside and bon. Well, so yeah, okay, so well, now So an infinitesimal is something which, okay. So one way of thinking of infinitesimal is something which is less than epsilon for an epsilon. So of course, you cannot require the norm of t to be less than epsilon for all epsilon, because this would imply that t is equal to zero. So we like this by saying that for an epsilon, t is less, as norm less epsilon outside of finite dimensional space. Okay. And this turned out to be equivalent to the fact that limit of mu tilde of nt is zero, where mu n tilde of t I don't remember. Okay, so yeah. So yeah. Okay. Well. So. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I just forgot. So it's enough of norm of t of our, so it's enough of our whole subspace of dimension f of norm of t restricted to e orthogonal. Okay. So this is okay. So these two are equivalent, and furthermore, so phi of t is compact equivalent to the fact that limit of mu tilde n of t is equal to zero. Okay. And furthermore, when t is compact, when t is compact, mu tilde n of t is equal to mu n of t, where mu n of t, if we have put k here. Ah, yeah. Well, where's my typos? Yeah, so, anyway. So, this is, okay. So, mu k of t is a k plus 1 eigenvalue of absolute value of t. Okay. So me. Okay. So you measure how much infinitesimal is an operator by looking at the growth of the decay of the characteristic values. Okay. So infinitesimal of order alpha is an operator k such that mu k of t is a degree of k to the minus alpha. And in this context, the analog integral is a discrete trace. And it appears as in the analysis of divergence of a trace of an operator. So in particular, if t is a positive compact operator, and 1 over log n of some of a partial sum of eigenvalue as limit L, then the discrete trace of t is equal to L. Okay. So in fact, okay, so there, in fact, there are several discrete traces. Okay. So there are several discrete traces, but when there is one, but we look at operator which give only. Okay, which give with these matrices give only one single value. This operator are called miserable. Okay, and this is for this operator that for which you can speak about the Dixie matrix. So in a special case where H is L2 of M. So the following result of Kahn, we say that t absolute differential operator of negative order, okay. So then it's an infinitesimal of order absolute value of m over n. So m is the order of the operator. And second, when p is order minus n, so then it's an infinitesimal of order 1. So okay. And so for this operator, we can apply the Dixmier trace. And what happened is that this operator are in fact miserable. And the Dixmier trace is given by 1 over n the residue of p, non-primitive residue of p. So it means that the consequence is that we can extend the Dixmier trace to an absolute differential operator, okay, even if it's not an infinitesimal of order less than 1, and even if it's not bounded, just by saying that Dixmier trace of the position operator is equal to 1 over n its non-primitive residue. Okay, so now with this in hand, can define lower dimensional volume. So I start by doing that when n dimension n is even and m is p. Okay, so we let this slash be the Dirac operator. So if you compute the symbol of order minus n of d to the minus n, then what you see that recovers the Riemannian metric. So, okay, so number of order minus n of d to minus n is now c to the minus n. And this implies that the corresponding non-primitive residue density is proportional to the volume form. Okay, because when you integrate over the sphere, what you get is what you get is essentially constant. Ouais. And from this, what you see that when you take non-commutative value of f to the d minus n, what you get is some recover is some constant multiple of the integral of f with respect to the volume form. And therefore, we see that d to the minus n allows us to recover the Riemannian volume form. So we get the spectral interpretation of the Riemannian volume form. So in fact, it was known much before. Okay. And the idea to define lower dimensional volume is to define a length element as the nth root of the Riemannian volume form. So what we do is that define non-primitive element ds as cn times d to the minus 1. Okay. Where cn is given by this, okay, in such way that when you raise this to the power n, okay, integral of ds to vn is equal to the volume of n. Okay. Okay. So, in our lower dimensional volume, I define as follows. For k equals 1 through n, the k dimensional volume is equal to the integral of dsk. Okay, so vol g km is integral of dsk. Okay. So it's boxed only in purple because not in red because that's not the definitive definition. Okay. And the area of m is the integral of the two-dimensional volume, it's integral of ds squared. Okay. So this non-commutative residue can in fact be related to heat invariant. Okay. And from that, heat invariant for the square of the Dirac operator. So then you can look at the book of Gilke and find a formula for this for the non-commutative residue of DSK. Okay. And what you get is the following. That when k is odd, the k dimensional volume is 0. And when k is even, this is this is equal to the integral of local Riemannian invariant. So so gamma n minus k, so what it means is local Riemannian invariant. So so by Weyl invariant theory means that it's universal polynomial in complete contraction of the covariant derivative of the curvature tensor depending only on n minus k. So for instance, the scalar curvature is such local Riemannian invariant. You also have, well, you would see, for example, So we also have the square of the main curvature, the norm square of the Ricci tensor, and norm square of the curvature. Okay. And it's slight subtlety, but in fact, so if you normalize it suitably, in fact, the local Riemannian invariant depends only on n minus k. Okay. So I don't know. Okay. So these are examples of for the gammas n minus k. So gamma 0 is 1, gamma 2 is minus kappa over 2, 12. So kappa is the scalar curvature, and gamma 4 is given by 6. So so here you have square of the scalar curvature. Rho is the Ricci tensor, so you have norm square of the Ricci tensor, and R is a Riemannian curvature, and here, and this is norm square of the, yeah? Now you contract with the metric. Yeah, that's why. Yes, yes. Now you contract again with the metric. So you take tensor and you take tensor and you contract with it. So no, so you also have over a local Riemannian invariant, but the integral is zero. Okay, so let's go back to this. So here what you have, that's your formula. Okay, so here is defined when m in terms of the Dirac operator, that is when m is a spin, but the other side here, it uses only the symmetric, so it makes sense for any Riemannian manifold. So you can use the right-hand side to define the k-dimensional volume when m is not spin. Okay. So this is what we do. So in general, the k-dimensional volume is given by this. So it's zero when k is odd, and when k is even, so it's given by the same formula as in the previous slide. This is what I do. So okay. So definition is pre-differential geometric and does not make reference to non-primitive geometry anymore. Okay. Okay. So I can do something similar. Okay, maybe examples. So when dimension of m is equal to 4, so we cover formula of Alain. So the area is given by minus 1 over 96 pi square root of 2, integral of the scalar curvature. And can also have a formula in dimension 6. Okay, which is given by this. So here you have a gamma 2. Okay, and you have this coefficient. Okay. So we can do something similar in the odd case. So I'm not going to go through all the steps. So in this case, you should not consider the inverse of the Dirac operator, but the inverse of the absolute value of the Dirac operator. Okay. And what you find is that the k-dimensional volume is zero when k is even. And when k is odd, it's equal by, so we have the same integral of the, so yeah, okay. Formula involves the same local Riemannian invariant, and you have different coefficients. So coefficient is given by this. Because, well, and so we define the length of m to be the one dimensional volume. Okay. And you can compute it in dimension 3 and 5. And what you get is this formula. So dimension 3 is equal to minus 1 over 72 pi to the 5 over 6, integral of scalar curvature. And dimension 5 is equal to this. So So that's it. Well, yeah, that's a question about it. Yeah, that's a question of trying to get some isopelimetric. When I gave a talk at CNS meeting in December, and Glenn Lawson was in the audience, and he said maybe related to his work on the Novikov conjecture, because he used n minus 2 skeleton. So. Thank you.
Are these related to the terms in the usual asymptotic expansion?
Yeah, that's what I
Oh, it is there. They are exactly the
Thank you.
just popped into my mind.
Yeah?
It's a stream of consciousness. The for hyperbolic manifolds, dimension bigger than 2, the volume is a relatively firm. I was just wondering about these other volumes.
Could be almost PLM?
I don't know whether that's a question or not. It just popped into my mind.